So we are waiting for His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who will be joining us shortly for giving the main talk this afternoon. And he'll be speaking from a very interesting verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I would like to speak briefly from the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, on the occasion of Janmashtami, from the Brahma Vimohan Leela, few points, the beginning of this pastime, and some interesting purports Srila Prabhupada gives in this. This particular section is extremely interesting. Yeah, give me. So the message says that Maharaj will come at 11:30. So we have 1 hour, more than I expected. So we have to go on till 11:30. So this particular section is especially very inspiring for me personally, because this purport Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1977, in the period of September, October, November of 1977, when he was about to end his manifest pastimes. And that was the time when this Brahma Vimohan Leela section was taken up by Prabhupada. And if you see the video which has Prabhupada's last days, then you will see that Jayadvait Maharaj is holding the tape, and Prabhupada is lying down, and word by word he is giving translations and purports to this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So even if you see the purports in this chapter, they are very, very interesting and slightly different from many of the purports Prabhupada has given, because there are a lot of personal insights of Prabhupada, and especially his feelings for the Krishna Balaram temple and ISKCON and all of these, which you would normally find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will find in this particular chapter of the 10th canto. So this pastime begins with an interesting question asked by Maharaj Parikshit. At this particular point, Aghasura has been killed, and after Aghasura has been killed, Shukadeva Goswami makes a point that the description of the killing of Aghasura was described to the Brajavasis 1 year later. And then Shukadeva Goswami wanted to continue, but Maharaj Parikshit was extremely attentive. And then he said, Brahman kalantar kritam tatkalinam katham bhavet. So please explain to me that if this pastime took place in Krishna's Kaumara age, why was it described in the Pauganda age? So Shukadeva Goswami, he was an accomplished speaker, and he was specifically there to help Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was facing his death, and he was fasting from water and food and sleep for the last several days. And all of us are also fasting today till midnight, which is a cause of concern for us, that how will we continue this fast and maintain our enthusiasm and strength. But the reason for this fasting is that generally we keep the fast till the time of appearance of the Lord. So Lord Krishna appears at 12 midnight, so therefore we fast till then. So that's another reason many people find Ramchandra better. He appeared 12 afternoon. And when I first did this fast, I remember in 1992, that was the first time I did the Janmashtami fasting. I mean, fasting was a totally new concept. for me personally. And I remember that right from the morning till night, there was only one thought, that when I'm going to break this fast. And at a certain time in the evening, I even started thinking, did I come into this group too early? Did I join Hare Krishna and the devotees, and am I taking them too seriously? Because we are so much used to giving pleasure to this body in such a regulated and systematic fashion. We take one dharma very seriously, that is Deha Dharma. And then when there is any stop to this, then it affects us. So here is Maharaj Parikshit, who has not eaten, who has not drunk for such a long time. It is extremely difficult to sit and focus on Krishna Katha. Even when we are eaten well, when we have not eaten, we fall asleep because of fatigue. And when we have eaten well, we fall asleep because of having eaten. So either way, the problem is lack of attraction for Krishna Katha. So here is Parikshit Maharaj, who is sitting and hearing, and Shukadeva Goswami just wants to test how well he is hearing, how attentive he is. So he suddenly drops this point, and Maharaj Parikshit immediately catches and he says, wait, you can't continue. Explain to me exactly how this happened. And then he says that Vayam dhanyatama loke guropi kshatra bandhava Vayam pibamo muhustatva punyam krishna kathamritam. O Shukadeva Goswami, O great sage, O savior of my life, O you who have appeared here at the most opportune moment to distribute the nectar of Krishna Katha, which is going to elevate me and save me and protect me from the poisonous takshak. O Maharaj, Vayam Dhanyatama Loke, it is our great fortune that you are seated here. Vayam Dhanyatama Loke, we are extremely fortunate. So here is Shukadeva Goswami, who is going on speaking continuously for the last 5 days non-stop. So just put ourselves in this condition, that when sometimes the katha goes a little longer, do we really identify that Vayam Dhanyatama? We are so fortunate. We are so lucky that the katha is going on and on and on. We do not feel like that because we are not on that platform. And therefore, he says, Guropi Kshatra Bandhava. Guropi Kshatra Bandhava means you have agreed to become our guru, although we are Kshatra Bandhu. So Kshatra Bandhu means friend of the Kshatriyas. Friend of the Kshatriyas means unqualified Kshatriya. So this verse reveals Maharaj Parikshit's humility, which is an important ingredient to appreciate, understand, assimilate, and realize Krishna Katha. Maharaj Parikshit is emperor of the planet, and therefore, for an emperor to accept a humble position is very difficult. But he is showing by his example that unless one expresses humility, he cannot connect with Krishna Katha. And he's saying, Guropi Kshatra Bandhava. So Prabhupada explains that the disciple must present himself in front of the guru with humility. And that is a very important ingredient. So the word humility comes from the Greek word humus. Humus means soil. And therefore the Bhakti Lata Beej needs a favorable soil to be sown, and that soil is the soil of humility. So here he says that Kshatra Bandhava has another very important purport, and that is Maharaj Parikshit is Kshatriya, and one of the qualities of Kshatriyas is Ishwara Bhav. They have desire to control. Kshatriyas like to control. And you can only get things done by control as far as Kshatriyas are concerned. So therefore, Maharaj Parikshit is saying that because of my ability to control and because of my habit to control, I was so addicted and infatuated that I forgot the limits of whom I should be controlling, and I transgressed the etiquette and put the dead snake around Shamik Rishi. And therefore, Shamik Rishi is a great sage, great soul, and as Kshatriya, I should not have displayed my Kshatriya-like propensity to control over great souls. That was a mistake on my part. And because of that, I have been put in this situation. Therefore, I understand how fallen I am, that instead of being humble in front of great souls, I displayed my so-called Kshatriya spirit by trying to control them and insult them, which was offensive. And therefore, I call myself Kshatra Bandhava. But you, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, please give your mercy to me, because now I have realized the mistake that ultimately all propensities to control must be subservient to the service of Krishna. And that must not include the great souls and authorities whom we are supposed to follow. So therefore, this principle of being submissive and humble is extremely important. Srila Prabhupada was at an airport and many devotees were also there. And suddenly one of the leaders there, the temple president, he came and said that the airport authorities have given some news that we cannot sit here because we are creating too much of a commotion. So all the devotees are requested to move on the other side. So as soon as he said that, the devotees started moving, and Prabhupada got up and Prabhupada also started moving. So this temple president told Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada, this is not for you, Prabhupada. This announcement is not for you. Prabhupada said, you just said all devotees. I am not devotee. So he said, yes, but this was for the other people who are not supposed to be in this area. But Prabhupada was in a mood that he would just be the humble servant of everyone. And in this mood of humility only, we can appreciate and understand and assimilate Krishna Katha. Like Prabhupada was in Germany, and Prithu Prabhu tells this story that Prabhupada was speaking about the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Varnashram. Brahmanas are the first class, Kshatriyas are second class, Vaishyas are third class, Shudras are the fourth class. And when Prabhupada said this, suddenly one huge, hefty looking gentleman from the audience got up and started pointing his fingers to Prabhupada and said, so what do you think you are? You are sitting on top of that chair and giving this lecture, you are first class. And we are all seated here down, we are all fourth class. And he was screaming at the top of his voice. And Prabhupada's other German disciples who were there in the crowd, they started flexing their muscles. They were looking intently at Prabhupada, that Prabhupada will give some indication. And they were ready for seva. Something which they had missed for a long time, you know. When devotees before coming to Hare Krishna are used to these kind of activities, they really miss this later because things are pretty non-violent. So then the reaction of Prabhupada was interesting. He just folded his hands. Tears were streaming from his eyes, and Prabhupada said, no, I am fifth class. I am the servant of all the other classes. And this man had argued with many people before, but never received such a response. He had absolutely no idea how to deal with this. He just sat down completely confused. Because Prabhupada's humility floored him completely. Therefore, we have limited areas of control, and that too for a short period, and that too many times we are the only people who are convinced that we are under control. And most of the others have doubt. But in spite of this, we have so much of pride that we are controlling this. So can you imagine what was the scope of Maharaj Parikshit to feel proud? He was the emperor of the entire planet. Single-handedly, he had defeated Kali personified and made Kali surrender. And spiritually, he had seen the Supreme Lord within the womb of his mother. So spiritually, materially, in every possible way, Maharaj Parikshit was so qualified. But Maharaj Parikshit is just expressing his utter humility and is saying that you are my guru and I am Kshatra Bandhava. I am a most fallen, unqualified Kshatriya. Friend of the Kshatriya, relative of the Kshatriya. No qualification. Therefore, Vayam Pibamo Muhustvatta Punyam Krishna Kathamritam. We would like to hear from you. I would like to hear from your lotus-like mouth this most wonderful Harikatha. Guropi Kshatra Bandhava, you are our guru, and speak Punyam Krishna Kathamritam. Speak this most ambrosial nectar of Krishna Katha. As Shyamananda Prabhu was mentioning about Ramananda Samvad, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai were having this discussion and dialogue, they had such intense experience of exchange of Krishna Katha of such a high order. So it is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that when Mahaprabhu hears this, he is extremely ecstatic to hear this wonderful Krishna Katha. And he tells Ramananda, Yaiche shunilo taiche dekhilo tomare mahima Radha Krishna prema rase gyaner tumi sima. As I heard about your glories, I can see you are so elevated. Radha Krishna premaras gyaner tumi sima. You are the ultimate boundary, ultimate limit of understanding the mellows of Radha and Krishna. Prabhu kohe aage koho shunite paaye sukhe apurvamrita nadi vahe tomar mukhe. Lord Chaitanya, who is appeared in the format of an ideal devotee, is showing by his example how one should be eager to hear Krishna Katha. Prabhu kahe aage kaho, please speak further, shunite paaye sukhe. By hearing this Krishna Katha, by hearing about Krishna, I am experiencing more and more ecstasy. Apurva amrita nadi, this kind of nectar, river of nectar is flowing from your lips. Tumara mukhe. And therefore he says that as far as Ramananda Rai is concerned, Chaitanya Charitra Ghana Dugdha Pur Ramananda Charitra Tahe Khanda Prachur. So this meeting of Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the discussion of Krishna Katha which they had is glorified by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's character, Chaitanya Charitra, is like condensed milk. And Ramananda Charitra Tahe Khanda Prachur. And Ramananda Rai's character is just like sugar candy. So you have condensed milk, which you call rabdi, And then you have sugar candy, which is crushed. And then when both of it is mixed together, the combination is so sweet. Of course, it's not a very good example on a fasting day. But this shows that this analogy is given by Kaviraj Goswami to express how great souls who have taste for Krishna Katha, how they view this. So then it says, Radha Krishna Lila Tate Karpura Milan Bhagyavan Yei Sei Kore Ashwadan. And when these two great souls come together, they start discussing Krishna Lila. And when they start discussing Krishna Katha, Radha Krishna Lila Tate Karpura Milan, it is like adding crushed fine camphor. So when you're making sweets, or especially sweet rice and things like this, when you add little camphor, it gives a very special fragrance, special flavor. Should not be too much, just the right amount. So Radha Krishna Lila Tate Karpura Milan, the mixture is complete. Bhagyavan Yei. And that person is so fortunate, Sai Kare Aswadan, one who hears this Krishna Katha. One who hears this conversation, who pays careful attention to this conversation, this Krishna Katha is so nectarian. So, the kind of question which has been asked by Maharaj Parikshit to Shukadeva Goswami is in the same line, that please describe to me, because I am interested to know more and more. And this is at a time when Maharaj Parikshit is extremely fatigued, not only physically, but you can also imagine if a person is expecting an impending danger, and the timing is also definite. Just imagine if someone informs you that at the end of this class, when you go out, somebody will be standing with a hammer and hit on your head. And he'll be standing right there and he won't miss you. But 2 hours you hear peacefully, okay? Then you can go out. If you come into the class with this information, all through the class you won't be looking at the speaker. You'll be looking at different doors available. Which is the easiest door by which I can escape that? As soon as we are told of a definite problem, immediately our brain starts working of how to solve that problem. So Maharaj Parikshit, that definite clue that in 7 days Takshak is going to come. And just imagine, immediately the brain would have started functioning. That how should I rally my forces? Maybe someone should go and fight with Takshak and finish him off. And he was not keeping a kind of regular monitoring with some of his spies going ahead and informing how far Takshak has come. He didn't keep a cell phone. He was not getting regular updates how far Takshak has come. He was not taking breaks from Shukadeva Goswami's katha. So just, I'll find the latest update so that I can concentrate better. Therefore, to switch off one's brain is a very, very difficult task. Switch off one's brain doesn't mean that to become foolish or stupid, but it means that to stop putting faith in one's own ability to solve problems and to start putting faith on Krishna and helplessly take his shelter that he is the ultimate problem solver. That is extremely difficult. And more powerful a person is, more difficulty he has in coming to this state. So here is Maharaj Parikshit, but he is putting himself completely at the shelter of Shukadeva Goswami. And his brain and his consciousness is so fresh that he wants to know intricate details of what is happening in that katha. Because when we are not interested, we many times just make a show of interest and get the ability to nod at regular intervals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. You're hearing? Of course. Mm-hmm. So mind is running parallel track. Something else is going on. At the same time, we feel that we are hearing, but we are processing hundreds of different things at one shot. And we think that is sign of great intelligence. That not only I sat for class, I also figured out tomorrow's schedule. And also I managed to stand first in line for prasad. So therefore, so many things I accomplished. Therefore, to absorb one's attention completely in the content of Krishna Katha is so difficult, extremely difficult. And what to speak of Maharaj Parikshit, who at this stage is interested in why you have not described that pastime was not described in Kaumara period and why in Pauganda period, you know. That is his most critical doubt at this point. He is not interested to know anything else in life but yat kaumare harikritam jagu pauganda kerbhaka. Why the Brajavasis were revealed that Krishna killed Aghasur in Pauganda age and why not in Kaumara age? That was his most pressing question. Just compare with our consciousness that this is the last thing in our mind. ठीक है होगा कुछ तो problem होगा क्या है हमारा कोई कम problem है क्या Let me solve my problem, let Brajavasi solve their problem. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is totally absorbed in that particular point, and that absorption is only possible when we are elevated and when we are freed from material desires. A mind full of material desires is perennially distracted, never in the present, always moving full speed in all directions, thinking of so many different things. But Maharaj Parikshit and great souls like Srila Prabhupada, they had the ability to give themselves up completely to the activity they were doing at the present moment. Whether it was writing a book, meeting a person, helping and encouraging someone, giving a class, focused totally at the present moment on what is happening. And only in that state you can actually appreciate the beauty of Krishna consciousness. And only in that state Krishna consciousness actually appears to be relishable, blissful, and not boring and hackneyed. So this is a kind of an introduction, but it is interesting to know the kind of consciousness which Maharaj Parikshit had and compare with our totally distracted mind and see that we have so much to cover. So now Shukadeva Goswami, he hears this response. And hearing this response, he closes his eyes. Itham sma prishta satubadarayani tatasma ritananta hrita khilandriya krichrat punarlabdha bahirvasha shanair pratyahatam bhagavatottamottama. Itham sma prishta. When Maharaj Parikshit put forward this question, tat smarit ananta hrita khilendriya. Shukadeva Goswami closed his eyes. Tat smarit ananta hrita khilendriya. And he remembered Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna, who is the cause of all causes, who is the supreme spiritual form of knowledge, bliss and eternity, he has the capacity and ability to inundate the soul's consciousness with unlimited bliss. Here, Shukadeva Goswami absorbs his mind that the Smarita Ananta, the unlimited Lord, allows himself to be captured within the tiny, insignificant mind of the Jiva. That the Smarita Ananta, Hrita Akhilendriya. And when he remembered Lord Krishna, simply by Krishna remembrance, all of his senses were suddenly filled with bliss. And Shukadeva Goswami was trying his level best to control his ecstasy, because Shukadeva Goswami was sitting there to speak the Bhagavatam, not for his ecstasy, but as an act of humble service unto Maharaj Parikshit, who was awaiting his impending death. Service is most important. And therefore, Hrita Akhilendriya, he was somehow trying to control his ecstasy, which was coming by remembering Krishna. Controlling himself that I should not fall prey to the feelings of bliss. I should not be put in a state where I go in such a trance that Parikshit Maharaj loses time and I cannot serve him. This is like a critical operation, critical surgery. The patient is critically ill and very less time is there. And therefore, the surgeon is in full alert. So Shukadeva Goswami's consciousness is that I must serve Maharaj Parikshit. And the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is simply an exchange of service attitude. And therefore, we see that even at the very origin, when Srimad Bhagavatam was written, Vyasadeva had practically compiled all the Vedic literatures. The four Vedas, the Puranas, Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, everything he had written. And then his guru Narad Muni comes and Vyasadeva asks, so I am not feeling satisfied, why? And Narad Muni says that whatever you have written so far is all bogus, is not of any use. Just imagine, Vyasadeva has been sitting in Badrika Ashram, which is not having climate like Bombay. Badrika Ashram is so cold, sitting in such extreme temperatures, sitting and writing repeatedly for so many years, the best of the Vedic literatures, the best literary composition ever seen. And after he has completed that service, you're going on doing the service, going on doing the service, and then finally, Narad Muni comes and says, it is of no use. Just imagine, if you are asked to cook a big feast, and you are going on cooking from morning 5 o'clock till afternoon, 12 items, cutting, you know, lifting the pots, getting people together, and the whole feast of two sabjis, puri, this, everything is ready. And finally the in-charge comes and says, sorry, I didn't inform you, it is Ekadashi today. So can you imagine that all of what you have done is of no use? So what will be our response? Why didn't you tell me before? Maybe you wanted to enjoy seeing me suffer like this. So here is Vyasadeva who has written everything, and Narad Muni comes and says, okay, but not impressive. But Vyasadeva said, okay, whatever you say, what should I do now? He said, write Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasadeva didn't respond, said, you only write. It is your brilliant idea, you write. And you never told me before, it is your problem. And you are getting on my case. Maybe you are tired of traveling. Traveling is affecting you too much. You are not able to take proper decisions. You know, we should have a mediation. No. Vyasadeva said, okay, whatever I did to please you. You were not pleased. So you are telling me that jugupsitam dharma kritena shasata swavaraktasya mahan vyatikrama. Everything is jugupsitam. Narad Muni just didn't say it is not correct. He just said it is abominable. What you have presented is abominable. So Vyasadeva didn't begin an argument. Just see the verses. Perfect poetry, perfect Sanskrit. And by the way, how many books have you written? All the time just bajai bina. This is not music, this is literary composition. You don't have anything to show. And then you're telling me that my composition is not correct. So just imagine, for the ego to take this is not easy. But Vyasadeva, no argument, no questions, he just said, okay, you say that all of the service I did in the coldest of winter, sitting for decades together, is all useless? Agreed, useless. What should I do now? Write Srimad Bhagavatam? Okay, I surrender. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is glorious, because the person who wrote the Bhagavatam wrote it under a severe test. And he didn't compose the Bhagavatam in a bitter mood. While writing, he didn't feel, Jabardasti likhwa raha hai. So if he had written the Bhagavatam under pressure, Bhagavatam would not have been sweet. A heart filled with bitterness cannot produce something sweet. So Vyasadeva was just detached. He said, okay, if you feel this is what I should do, I will do this. So he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, the author of the Srimad Bhagavatam, his consciousness, his reciprocation and relationship with his guru, everything is very important and personal. And we cannot just discount it. Therefore, here, Shukadeva Goswami, he is in a mood of similar service attitude. He is not here to impress Maharaj Parikshit's brain with certain information. He is there to serve him. And therefore, when ecstasy is coming, he is trying to control it, because that is against the requirements of the service at that point. So therefore, Krichrat Puna Labdha Bahirdrisha Shanai. Krichrat Puna, with great difficulty, Bhagavatam says, Krichrat Puna. This is our Sutta Goswami saying this verse. Krichrat. Krichrat means with great difficulty, by putting lot of effort, again, Labdha, he attained Bahirdrishai, external consciousness. Because he was kind of going into a trance very rapidly. He was just going deeper and deeper and deeper into trance, and with great difficulty, Krichrat, he just brought himself out, because he felt this is not good for this service. Shanaihi, gradually. Pratyahatam bhagavato tamottama. And thus he spoke the Bhagavatam to the best of the Bhagavatam, best of the Bhagavatas. Bhagavata Uttamuttama. So here Sutta Goswami is addressing Shaunaka as Bhagavat Uttamuttama. Oh, great of the Bhagavatas, greatest of the Bhagavatas, you also hear in this same mood as the previous dialogue between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. So Prabhupada gives the purport, great souls merge in ocean of ecstasy while remembering Krishna. So just see the difference, that when we are hearing Krishna Katha, Krichrat Punar, we also have to try hard to remain awake, to not merge into the ocean of Tamogun, into the mode of ignorance, because the consciousness is like that. So now, Shukadeva Goswami, he begins speaking. And this is a very important, beautiful shloka. And he says, Sadhu Prishtam Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavato Tama Yannutanayasi Ishasya Shirinvan Apikathamuhu. So he says that Sadhu Prishtam, first thing he says is good question. I tested you, whether you were awake, attentive, understanding properly. Sadhu Prishtam Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavat Uttama. O great best of Bhagavatas, you have asked a great question. Yana nutanayasi ishasya. This is a symptom. This question is a symptom that great souls always find Krishna Katha ever relishable. They never feel Krishna Katha to be boring. They always experience taste. Shrinvan api katham muhu. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing pastimes constantly. So therefore, all the Vedic literatures are meant to bring us to this state. There are so many rules and regulations in Vedas. But all of that is simply to purify us and elevate us. But to bring us to a certain state. For example, if a child is in kindergarten, then the teacher gives certain rules to that child in the classroom. Announcement is made that you must stand in line, you must press your clothes, you must cut your nails, you should not stick chewing gum under the bench, and you must not break the line. So these are all different things which children are told. And when they come to the school, the teacher says, show me your nails. So the nails are checked. Checks the bench. Okay, no chewing gum. So teacher says, very good. We pass you. But the child has to grow up. And when the child grows up, and suppose now someone has registered for a PhD, then the standards won't remain same. Now the PhD student meets his guide, and the guide says, so how is the progress? And he says, I have cut my nails. I polished my shoes. I came in line only. I said, that's okay, that's all fine. But where is the progress? He said, but my buttons are all tied up. So that is not the criteria for PhD student. For PhD student, he is expected to follow higher level of discipline for which he will be given marks. So similarly, the very fact that someone has come into the fold of Hare Krishna means that Rajvidya, Rajguhyam, Pavitram. This is PhD level knowledge. So at PhD level knowledge, we are expected to follow certain other criteria. And one of the criteria is how much taste we develop for hearing and chanting. Yat nutanayasi ishasya shrinvan api katham muhu. So hearing and chanting is like the basis of the entire process of Krishna consciousness. And simply by doing this, one gradually becomes purified. In the Rath Yatra, when the devotees were dancing along with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami describes, Vaishnavera mega ghatai hoila badal kirtana anande varshe sabanetra jal. The group of devotees who were dancing and chanting kirtan are compared to cloud. The whole Vaishnav Vrinda is compared by Kaivaraj Goswami to be just like a rain cloud. Vaishnavera mega ghatai hoila badal. And then as the kirtan was going on, kirtana anande sabha, in the ecstasy of kirtan, tears of ecstasy were flowing from their eyes. They were enjoying the kirtan so much, they were so absorbed in the kirtan that tears of ecstasy were flowing. And that is called Kirtana Anande Sabha Varshe Netrajal. So then, the tears of ecstasy were falling from their eyes. And that tears of ecstasy falling from their eyes and spreading all around is compared to a bunch of clouds showering rainfall. Tribhuvana bhari uthe kirtanera dhvani Anya vadya dira dhvani kichu vinashuni. And the kirtan was sung with so much of ecstasy, so much of enthusiasm. त्रिभुवने उठी. इन ऑल द थ्री वर्ल्ड्स द साउंड स्प्रेड. कीर्तनेर ध्वनि एंड द साउंड ऑफ द कीर्तन वॉज सो लाउड एंड सो पावरफुल अन्य वाद्यादिर ध्वनि. Nobody could hear the sound of other instruments. The mridang, the kartal, and others. Anya vadyadhira dhoni kichhui na suni. So you can imagine what must be the tumultuous roar of the kirtan of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the power of kirtan. This is the power of hearing and chanting. That once when one is absorbed, one gets so much of ecstasy like Maharaj Parikshit in hearing, or as these devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they are absorbed in the process of kirtan, they experience the joy. I tell this, one of my favorite stories, that in San Francisco, when the devotees would go on Harinam, there was one man who was so envious. He didn't like this kirtan. He had a vegetable shop. So he would specifically keep rotten tomatoes and hit the devotees, the kirtan party, with the rotten tomato. And this would go on for some time. So finally, one of the devotees decided that I must give mercy to this person. So he would come very near his shop. And although he would get hit by these tomatoes, but still he would make sure that he chanted loudly and made sure that this fellow heard the kirtan and even encouraged him to chant. Gradually, by repeatedly doing this and by receiving a lot of rotten tomatoes, finally this man's heart changed. And then he actually started appreciating devotees. He stopped hitting the tomatoes. And after 6 months, when the Rath Yatra at San Francisco was there, he sponsored all the tomatoes for the feast. Good tomatoes. The kirtan was gradually having an effect and it transformed him. The holy name is all powerful. The sound vibration is all powerful and it has its effect gradually. One of our ISKCON sannyasis tells the story that before he became sannyasi, when he was grihastha, his wife, she had a dog. And one of her favorite philosophers was J. Krishnamurti. So she kept the name of the dog after Krishnamurti. And she would call the dog, in short, Krishna. And once the dog was missing, so she told the husband, go and find this dog. So this was in Amsterdam and he was moving through the streets of Amsterdam in the middle of the night shouting, Krishna, 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 shouting for the dog. And a Harinam party of devotees was going by. And one devotee was distributing books and he came into the same lane and saw this most astonishing sight that in the middle of the night in Amsterdam, which is considered to be very attractive even for Americans, because ganja and everything is sold across the counter like anacin, you know. And here in Amsterdam, this fellow is shouting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he said, my God, what a great soul. That he is just in the mood of the Goswamis, shouting like this. And he came to him, you're looking for Krishna? He said, yes, I'm looking for Krishna. He said, come to our place, we'll show you where Krishna is. And he came. And he said, this is Krishna. He said, I'm not looking for this. So he gave him a book. He started reading the book, got influenced, and he became a devotee. And he became so inspired that ultimately he became one of the top leaders. But he got connected simply by some connection with the holy name. So therefore, even if we begin hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, without any ecstasy, without any taste. And even if we hear in the mood that I am not getting any interest at all. But if we simply don't give up this activity and keep hearing, and we may not be hearing in the exact same consciousness as Maharaj Parikshit or as Lord Chaitanya or Ramananda Rai, but the important thing is to have faith that the process works. And at some point of time in future, in some way, it will act in very powerful ways. With that faith, we should continue moment by moment, day to day, Janmashtami after Janmashtami. And then gradually, we will see the result. So here, Shukadeva Goswami says, Yat nutanesi ishasya shrinvan api katham muhu. For great souls, these pastimes appear to be newer and newer. And for many of us, these pastimes may appear to be the same repetition. But gradual purification will bring about that taste. Arasagya kakachushe jnana nimba phale premarasa premamrita premamra mukule. So Shukadeva Goswami, he is like a wonderful koyal or cuckoo bird. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he glorifies Ramananda Rai and says that anyone who describes Krishna Katha is just like cuckoo. And the sound of Krishna Katha is just like the singing of a cuckoo bird. Arasagya kakachushe jnana nimba phale. Someone whose heart is full of doubts and logic and reason and skepticism is clouding his consciousness. That is called jnana nimba phale. We are tasting the bitterness of our own doubts and skepticism and lack of faith. We are processing every nectarian drop of Krishna Katha through the mud of our own skepticism, through the liquor pot of our own faithlessness. To that extent, we will find the whole thing to be a rasagya. The drop of Krishna Katha, the drop of nectar is falling, instantly we are mixing it with our bitterness and then tasting it. Said, Krishna Katha is not so relishable. It is not problem with Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha is falling sweet only. But instantaneously, it is being mixed with arasagya kakachushe jnana nimba phale. So who experiences the sweetness? Kaka or crow. So Lord Chaitanya is saying that those whose minds are filled with skepticism and doubt and faithlessness, we are just like crows trying to taste the jnana nimba phale through speculation, all of these very pure, wonderful pastimes. Rasagya kokila khaye premamra mukule. But those who are rasagya, those who can actually experience the taste, they are just like koyal, just like cuckoo. Prema amra mukule, they taste the sweet mango of pure love of Krishna. So in this way, the problem with our lack of experiencing taste in Krishna conscious process is our impurities. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness of hearing and chanting will gradually elevate us and purify us. So therefore, on the occasion of Krishna Janmashtami, we should pray to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath that we also develop this kind of taste in hearing and chanting Krishna Katha. The Lord is all powerful, all merciful. Even to think that I cannot do this is a crazy concept. Even to think that I cannot achieve taste in this lifetime is a statement of false ego. Therefore, on occasions of special festivals, the Lord bestows His special mercy and is very favorably disposed to prayers. So when we pray with feeling, with helplessness, with sincerity, because we may not have so much devotion, but at least we can gather all the sincerity at our disposal and express to Krishna that, my dear Lord, I am very, very helpless. And because of this, you have to help me. By my own efforts, it is not possible to get this. So therefore, I will conclude, because I could not even start the Brahma Yuvamohan Leela. This was just the introductory dialogue going between these two great souls. Kashi Mishra kahe Raja Prabhura Mahima, Kashi Mishra kahe Tomar Bhagye Nahi Sima. So when Lord Chaitanya was dancing in that kirtan, Prataprudra Maharaj saw that Lord Chaitanya is expanding himself in all the kirtan parties individually. This was one mystic power he saw. And the second mystic power he saw was that Jagannath was stopping now and then to witness Lord Chaitanya's dancing. Kshanesthira rahe tane chaline na thale, Ishvara ichhaya chale na chale karobale. That Rath was stopping and tani lehna chale, in spite of pulling it would not move. Ishvara ichhaya chale. The Rath was going and moving by the ichha, the desire of the Lord himself. When the Lord wanted to see the dancing, he would behave in a certain way. So these two mystic powers Prataprudra Maharaj could see. And he informed Kashi Mishra, can you see this? So Kashi Mishra kahe, Tomar Bhagyar Nahi Sima. O Prataprudra Maharaj, you are so fortunate. And then he says, Yare tar kripa se jani bare pare, kripa vina brahma dika jani bare nare. So this verse I was supposed to conclude after speaking the Brahma Yuvamohan Leela, but I'm concluding without speaking Brahma Yuvamohan Leela. But all of you more or less know the Leela, that Brahmaji tried to understand Krishna with his intelligence. So Kashi Mishra is saying, Yare Tara Kripa, only one who receives Krishna's Kripa and mercy, Se Jane Bare Pare, only he can understand Krishna. Kripa Vina Brahmadika, without Kripa, without mercy, even Brahma cannot understand Krishna's potency. And therefore, my dear Maharaj Prataprudra, you are so fortunate. Why? Rajar tuchha seva dekhi prabhur tushtaman saito prasade paila rahasya darshan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased, not by Prataprudra Maharaj's intelligence and ability to control the kingdom. Rajar tuchha seva dekhi, by seeing Prataprudra Maharaj's humility in sweeping the cart in front of the cart of Lord Jagannath. Prabhur tushtaman, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was satisfied. And therefore, saito prasade, because of having received that mercy of the Lord, paila rahasya darshan, he could get an entrance into this secret rahasya of Krishna's potency, of Krishna's mercy. Sakshate na daya dekha parokshet udaya, ke bujhite pare chaitanya chandre ramaya. So Kaviraj Goswami concludes this section by saying, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not give a direct interview to Prataprudra Maharaj. Sakshate na daya dekha. Dekha means interview or an audience. Lord Chaitanya refused to grant Prataprudra Maharaj direct audience. But parokshito daya, but indirectly, he gave his audience his mercy. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya had to balance various factors. On one hand, when he is acting as a devotee, he has to set the highest standards for his other devotees and for all future generations, that I cannot meet a Vishayi, a king. But Lord Chaitanya is also Bhaktavatsal, and therefore he has to melt under the inspiration of a devotee's pure love. So Prataprudra Maharaj is a devotee, he has devotion, Lord Chaitanya is Bhaktavatsal, he has to show mercy. So how will Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu show mercy, at the same time not show mercy? So Kaviraj Goswami says, Sakshatena Deya Dekha, directly in front of others, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not meet Prataprudra Maharaj. He just said, tell him, I can't meet him. He's a Vishayi, you know. Just because he's Raja, he's Malina, he's impure. But indirectly, Lord Chaitanya already released his mercy by giving Prataprudra Maharaj entrance into this secret which is not available even for Brahmaji. And therefore he says, Ke bujhite pare Chaitanya Chandrera Maya. Who can understand the mystic potency of Lord Chaitanya, of how the process of giving mercy works? We cannot understand this. All we can do is simply pray, try to please the Vaishnavas, and hope that the Lord is pleased with our efforts one day. And therefore, we should accept the essence of Krishna consciousness. The rules and regulations and the form is important, but more important is the essence. And the essence is to be a humble servant of the devotees and try to please the Vaishnavas in every possible way. I remember a few years back, we did a Janmashtami program at IIT. It was one of the first programs we did, 1997. And I told the devotees that, you know, you should do a program, you should do a drama, killing of Chanur and Mushtik, at pastime. So, you know, the drama began. Of course, much before the drama began, Abhishek began, and our devotee, he was acting as Kamsa, and he was having big mustache. And he said, I am dressed as Kamsa, can I do Abhishek? So I said, you're not real Kamsa, you can definitely do, no problem. So then after that, they were all very new. And then the drama began, and our Radhavalla Prabhu was Balram, Gaurahari Prabhu was Krishna. And then Krishna Balram came, and Chanur Mushtik came, and Chanur Mushtik was, they were killed. And after Chanur Mushtik was killed, Kamsa walked out peacefully, waving to the audience, and the drama ended. And I asked them, what about Kamsa? Kamsa was not killed. I said, you only said drama is killing of Chanur and Mushtik, so we stopped till there. I said, it is understood that what should follow. I said, no, we just took every word literally. You said killing till this, killing till here, that's it. So therefore, we have to appreciate that in due course of time, when we are in the association of devotees, we have to use our intelligence in assimilating the essence and know that pleasing Vaishnavas is the highest principle. And on this day of Krishna Janmashtami, I sincerely pray at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Gopinath Ji that please grant me the intelligence to be a humble servant of the devotees, and please protect me from committing offenses to the Vaishnavas. Because as soon as we start committing offenses to Vaishnavas, Krishna stops his mercy. Maharaj was telling me the other day that when you are tuning in to Krishna, and Krishna is also sending his waves of mercy, but as soon as Krishna sees that you are committing offenses to devotees, Krishna stops the transmission from his side. And therefore, when one starts committing offenses to devotees, one falls down into more abominable types of sense gratification than even if somebody is not chanting Hare Krishna. Many times it is seen. So on Krishna Janmashtami day, the Lord is very merciful and he grants his prayers of his devotees. So we pray that we do not take devotees for granted. We do not take them cheaply. We do not take the process of Krishna consciousness for granted. We appreciate how lucky and fortunate we are that we have come into this association by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. May Sri Radha Gopinath Ji bestow their causeless mercy upon this most wonderful assembly of Vaishnavas, so that we can continue in our path of Krishna consciousness with enthusiasm. Srila Prabhupada ki. So now, at some point, His Holiness Radhanath